If you're hearing this, it means tickets are now on sale for our streaming Cybactacular.
That's what we're calling the streaming show of our Star Trek V review that we toured last year. We filmed our Hollywood show, and it's going to be streaming on Thursday, May 16th at 7 p.m. Eastern Time. And the stream will be available for a couple of weeks after that. If you can't watch right at the premiere time. A couple of pieces of information about this. If you support us at MaximumFun.org/join and your membership is current, check your email inbox because Maximum Fun will have emailed you a promo code to get $5 off your ticket. And also, we have some VIP packages available that include a meet and greet with me and Adam. Those are going fast, so jump on that if you want a meet and greet VIP package. Again, it's greatestgentour.com to get your tickets for the streaming Cybactacular.
My friends, the great experiment.
How dare you?
Hit it. Trick.
Would you look at that?
The greatest trick.
You people, you're all astronauts on some kind of Star Trek.
Welcome to Greatest Trek. It's a new Star Trek podcast from the makers of The Greatest Generation. I'm Adam Pranica.
I'm Ben Harrison.
We got some newness today. Might be old for some folks, but it's new to us.
Yeah.
These very short Treks episodes came out while we were working on our hit Star Trek podcast about new Star Trek, Greatest Trek. That's this very show. 10 episodes on Lower Decks is what we did. We weren't going to break in the middle and do episodes about the very short Trek.
Come on. We would never.
No, that's too much of a format break. Not going to do it.
I was aware that these had come out. I saw people talking about them a little bit on interweb platforms, and I was excited about them. And then when I went to Paramount Plus to watch them, I was like, where the fuck are they? I did know.
The exact same thing. I assumed Paramount Plus would be involved, and maybe they were, but these are hosted on YouTube.
Yeah, I am surprised that, I mean, they're kind of, the way they present themselves is like almost as marketing, like, hey, you should watch these other things on Paramount Plus, and that's the end
card. I'd love to know the reason for this, though, because the animated series is on Paramount Plus.
Yeah.
Short Treks is on Paramount Plus. This is an homage to the animated series and its Short Treks.
And does your mid-tier streaming network have too much content? Would adding five things to it be, you know, the thing that overloads the system?
Look, we don't have a lot of views on our very own YouTube channel. But, like, you look at the views on these very short Treks, I was shocked at how few there were. I think it's got to be part of the problem is no one knows where these are.
The one thing that they screwed up was not having Adam Ragusea as a guest on one of these.
Yeah, you got to do that. Got to do that.
That's where you get your numbers from.
One thing that really got me excited when I was looking into the how, the why, and the who of these very short Treks was Casper Kelly.
Mm.
The Casper Kelly name means something to me, and that's because of Too Many Cooks.
Yeah.
Too many cooks.
Kill me.
Isn't it crazy to think that almost 10 years ago, Too Many Cooks came out? If you told me that Too Many Cooks came out 2 years ago, I'd be like, yeah, absolutely. That was only 2 years ago.
Yeah, I do remember 2 years ago when Too Many Cooks came out.
Did you like Too Many Cooks?
I did like Too Many Cooks. Yeah, wow. October 28th, 2014.
Yeah.
Bonkers.
What is time? What mean time? That's nuts.
That was the day before I turned 31. Now yeah. I'm 40. Oh my God.
In addition to these five very short Treks, there was like a little, like very short, they should have called it very short documentary, but it was like an interview with Casper Kelly. And there wasn't a lot to it, but like he's an enthusiastic creator and appreciator of Star Trek stuff. They just sort of threw him the keys on this. He loved the animated series. He's like, I'm going to make fun shit for five short episodes. And that's really all the story was.
That's great.
What more of a story does there need to be?
There doesn't need to be any more story.
50th anniversary of the animated series. That's the whole reason for this. I think it's a pretty exciting opportunity to send up some of our favorite Star Treks in the style of, you know what I mean?
I think that there are a lot of valid criticisms and complaints out there about the way Star Trek is being run these days. But one thing I really appreciate about the Star Trek industrial complex of today is that they will go spend some money on a weird idea from time to time. Like, making a Tribbles breakfast cereal commercial is, you know, $50,000 that they didn't need to spend. Making Very Short Treks, the animated series, is probably, you know, minimum $500,000 that they didn't need to spend, but they did because it's a really fun idea. And I'm so glad that these exist. I'm glad they're out there.
If you're a Star Trek fan, think of where you were 10 years ago before any new Star Trek was even a glimmer in anyone's eye.
The closest thing you could get to new Star Trek was Too Many Cooks.
That's what I'm saying. And now we've got interesting creators with a fresh new spin on it. I think it's exciting. I would really like more of this, is what I'm saying.
I would too. I hope that, you know, whatever small impact we have gets people to go over and add to the view count on these, because they're a ton of fun. And I think we should get into it. We're going to just do a couple of episodes today. We're going to do the first two on this episode, and let's see how it goes.
And in doing that, let's start with the very first Star Trek Very Short Treks, Ben. It's episode one. It's called Skin a Cat, directed by Aaron Hawkins and written by Casper Kelly.
You know the greatest danger facing us is an irrational fear of the unknown.
I should report this to HR.
I love a new take on the Star Trek logo, and this looked really great to me. Like, I feel like they might have, in fact, done, I'm sure it was done in a computer, but like actual redraws of every frame of the ship in a cell animation style, which is really cool because it's a hard look to get any other way. And this little sequence just tickled me pink to watch.
This is what I was hoping for in that tiny documentary. Like, it's cool to hear from Casper Kelly, but I'd love to see, you know, actual behind the scenes footage of how these decisions got made and so forth.
Yeah, it would, like, seeing a guy with like a drafting table with a circular hole of, you know, translucent plexiglass stuck in it.
For some reason it's happening at Disney.
Drawing with a pencil. That would have been great.
Doesn't the warble do so much work here? That audio warble, I love that.
It was funny. I started to watch this on the YouTube app on my phone because I was like, I was trying to do the thing where you like screencast the thing from your phone to your TV. And I had it in headphones at first, but then when it came up on my TV was when I noticed the warble, and I was like, is there something wrong with the speakers on my TV?
Yeah.
No. They did that on purpose.
Yeah, the way it should be. It is the animated series version of the original series Enterprise here, and it features Spock on the bridge crew, but this is not Captain Kirk.
No, it's not Captain Pike either, right? It's like Captain Pete Holmes.
yeah, it is. This captain doesn't get a name, but it is Pete Holmes to you and me, and I just love this performance. Like, Pete Holmes is not trying to be a captain in Starfleet. Pete Holmes is wearing a Starfleet costume while still being Pete Holmes on the bridge of the Enterprise. That's what I love about this performance.
Yeah, yeah. The first thing he says, you know, they're surrounded by a bunch of D7s. They're getting bangers dropped on them left and right. Captain Pete Holmes has a way to get out of here. And suggests that there's more than one way to skin a cat. And the object of Adam's affections in the animated series turns around and takes great umbrage at this remark.
What?
Oh, I'm so sorry, Mress.
Oh, boy. Mress.
Mress indeed.
She's a handsome lady. Ben, I got a question for you.
Uh-huh.
Is Mress related to the lady in Paradise City? suggesting that she, in fact, does have three boobs? Because you see her take off her bra in the very last episode. That's a two-cup bra.
Is that just because the replicator doesn't have a pattern for MRS's three-boobed chest?
See, this has been the problem with brassieres for time immemorium, right? Women being uncomfortable with their off-the-rack solution.
Right, right.
Because once they put it on the rack, that's not comfortable.
Yeah, there's a rack coming into play either way, and that's just unfair.
MRS takes great umbrage with this turn of phrase.
How would you like it if I say there is more than one way to disembowel a human?
What unfolds here is the bridge crew making clear that every single one of them has made taking offense a personality. And the interplay between a very apologetic Pete Holmes and these offended crew people is great, because the tension just ratchets up and up and up and up into the most absurd. Like, you would not expect an alien race to be a butthead, literally. Or the head of a screw, actually.
I believe ass face is what their race is called, Adam.
Yeah.
Yeah, the game of this is that all of the, you know, idiomatic Earth phrases that Captain Pete Holmes is reaching for to give his avuncular take on the issue wind up being wildly insensitive to these alien species. And it starts with MRS, the cat lady, and goes to an Antedon, you know, and gets more and more absurd as it goes. Great to see a animated series style drawing of an Antedon. Great to see.
Yeah, that's what I really loved.
Like an animated series style drawing of, you know, an underpants head lady.
What? We Nickasonians are a proud species who serve the Federation with honor.
There's a really fun moment toward the end where Captain Pete Holmes starts to recognize this magic that he has, which is like, by saying the idiom, he conjures the thing. And so at the end, he's like, well, what I'm going to do is conjure myself the solution to this problem that I'm in.
Right.
And so he starts speaking of the right type of person to help. Not only the mission, but him personally. In very specific ways.
Also, she likes the board game Risk. And she lets me have Australia.
This was the first one of these that I watched. And I sort of groaned at the beginning of this, because I was like, this is like basically a vaudeville joke that this guy is doing. It is a very old joke construction, but I think that the genius of it is it's almost like a dead air joke how long the specificity of his description goes on.
Yeah, it's that SNL quality or like modern comedy quality of like that peak valley peak
right
way of doing it. Like the longer it goes, it gets less funny before getting more funny again.
Yeah. And this one, like, it almost like started in the valley before it peaked. But I thought it was very funny. I thought that Captain Pete Holmes's ideal woman that appears was, you know, a perfect visualization of what he's describing.
Yeah.
And also a total dime. I also wanted to call out Christina Milzia, it looks like her name is, the woman who did the voices of the Nickersonian, the Dream Woman, and MRS, because I feel like she is doing a really good job of sounding like Nichelle Nichols playing three distinct characters, which Nichelle Nichols was often asked to do as like the only female voice actor on the animated series.
Yeah.
It sounds like Nichelle Nichols doing MRS, like in real animated series episodes.
Open a hailing frequency, Lieutenant Ress.
Hailing frequency open, sir.
And Nichelle Nichols throwing her voice in a different direction for these other characters.
Yeah, you really need to make sure you get the voice casting right for stuff like this. And that was a really great bit of casting right there.
Yeah.
This episode ends with a cut to credits for comedy. And this is a quality to every single one of these very short treks, the editing for comedy that can just do so much.
It's it's a ton of fun. I wonder like I want to see the longer documentary about making these, like getting in the voice cast, like how many people they had to consider for something like that, because it seems impossible to find a voice actor that's that good in that specific way.
Yeah, I think so too. And there's a lot of like, Ethan Peck is in many of these episodes, and I just appreciate how game he was for something weird.
I know.
The way that he clearly was.
Captain, might I suggest avoiding figures of speech?
I mean, that's saying nothing about Pete Holmes, who is busy with a ton of other projects as a podcaster and touring comic. The guy's great, and he did great work here.
Yeah. Well, this episode was a great way to start off, and RSVP the Entrepreneur, real sad to see it go at the end of this.
Yeah.
I had no idea that it had been destroyed and rebuilt.
Sad that we never hear the dream girl's answer to the marriage proposal.
I know.
You got to believe that she's into it, though.
I mean, like, this is something that we should discuss. Like, these are specifically pitched as non-canon Star Trek stories. And I love that that they're willing to take risks like that too. But, you know, I want the Pete Holmes and Star Trek Dream Girl series now, you know, like take that one to series, like put him on as captain of another ship. Like, yeah, I did a little stint on the Entrepreneur when, you know, Pike was sick for a month, but, now I'm captaining my own ship with my new wife by my side.
I mean, this is something that Star Trek has been interested in more recently than ever before, the idea of like a long-term committed relationship on a ship.
Yeah.
In a plausible way. So that doesn't strike me as a barrier to storytelling there.
Exactly. And like, take Assface and Screwhead with you, you know? Like, take it to series. I want a live-action version of this.
Low-key, one of the funniest parts of this episode was the incredulity that Captain Pete Holmes had with Assface and Screwhead's station being on the ship when their specialty is like water filtration or something.
Yeah, yeah. That's an important job.
I love it.
Yeah.
That was great.
Good stuff.
Did you like this very Short Treks episode, Ben?
That is now your chair, Captain.
Oh, it's a new ship.
Yeah, I think this was a great one to start out with, and a great way to get a taste for what the kind of jokes of this series were going to be. It's fun. There's a bunch of different writers, and they all have different flavors, but I think this one really set the table well for what this was going to be, and I thought it did a great job of introducing it, and I thought the bit was funny. Like, it is an SNL sketch. It's like, here's the game. We're going to heighten.
Yeah.
Throw a button on it if you're fucking lucky. And the sketch worked. So, you know, what more can I say than that?
Yeah. Yeah.
How about you?
What worked for me was the strength of the Pete Holmes delivery. I am a regular listener to You Made It Weird. I like his stand-up. I was delighted that he was in this. It also didn't surprise me because I know Pete Holmes is a Star Trek fan. He, to me, famously did a really funny bit with Moshe Kasher about Captain Picard on his podcast. And that is something that I return to for a laugh a bunch. He's obviously a real fan and obviously a very funny person, and I thought that was just a great fit for what this episode ended up being. What didn't work for me? I've never played Risk.
Hmm.
I didn't get that part.
Because maybe I don't need to rule the whole world. Maybe I'm just happy with Australia, and I don't see what's wrong with that. You're allowed to do peace treaties. The game allows it.
I got it through context, so it was funny to me, but not a Riskman. Are you a Riskman?
Tin Man.
I played it when I was a kid.
Yeah?
I was bad at Risk. I think Risk is a hard game for a kid.
Yeah.
But
I played Axis and Allies as a kid. Is that the same as Risk in its own way? Did you ever play that game?
I had friends that had Axis and Allies, but I don't think I ever actually played it.
You want to know something insane? Is during the pandemic, I got my wife to play Axis and Allies with me.
Oh, wow.
That is marriage on hard mode, yeah, my friend.
That is quite an achievement, and I salute you for it.
Yeah. Yeah, you just try to get to the end of a game of Axis and Allies with your special person. Very difficult.
I wonder if Stuart Wellington from the Flap House tried to get his wife to play Warhammer with him during the pandemic.
I think he's smart enough not to have tried.
Yeah.
We need to score a lot of land fast.
We're licensed businessmen.
Hi, this is Biz, and this is the final season of One Bad Mother, a comedy podcast about parenting. This is going to be a year of celebrating all that makes this podcast and this community magical.
I'm so glad that I found your podcast.
I just cannot thank you enough for just being the voice of reason as I'm trying to figure all of this out.
Thank you, and cheers to your incredible show and the vision you had to provide this space for all of us.
This is still a show about life after giving life. And yes, there will be swears. You can find us on MaximumFun.org. And as always, you are doing a great job.
All right, class. Tomorrow's exam will cover the science of cosmic rays, the morals of art forgery, and whether or not fish can drown. Any questions? Yes, you in the back.
What is this?
It's the podcast Let's Learn Everything,
where we learn about science and a bit of everything else. My name's Tom. I study cognitive and computer science, but I'll also be your teacher for intermediate emojis.
My name's Caroline, and I did my master's in biodiversity conservation, and I'll be teaching you intro to things the British Museum stole.
My name's Ella. I did a PhD in stem cell biology, so obviously I'll be teaching you the history of fan fiction.
Class meets every other Thursday on Maximum Fun.
So do I still get credit for this?
No.
Obviously not.
No.
It's a podcast.
Well, there's a new ship. She's got the right name. She's got the right name. Now you remember that, you hear? Now you remember that, you hear?
All right, Adam. Here's our next short track. We're already there. We're talking about Holiday Party. This one written by Claire Friedman. These are all directed by Aaron Hawkins, by the way.
Yeah.
This is a, you know, office holiday party awkwardness, I guess, is the kind of environment that this one takes place in, except for it's not a holiday we celebrate. It's First Contact Day, and they're having a party for it on the Entrepreneur. Hemmer is there, so that definitely puts us in a specific era of Entrepreneur.
Great, whatever. Someone give me a drink.
And we've got, like, you know, Una and Nurse Chapel and Uhura there as well.
The drawing of the ship is distinct from episode one, too. It's very definitely Pike's Enterprise.
Yeah, yeah.
I thought that was neat.
So Hemmer gives a little toast, and he's, like, emceeing the event. And the first act of the evening is Spock, who takes the stage and begins doing a blooper reel of stuff that has happened on the ship in the last year.
One of the great tensions in this short, and really, like, tension and release is what comedy is all about, is that because it's First Contact Day, and First Contact Day involves the Vulcan race that Spock is, the crew has to give him a longer leash to do whatever it is that this is.
Yeah.
Didn't you think that? Like, his race is baked into the holiday itself.
Right.
So you've really got to be sure if you're going to criticize his choices here, because, like, by not doing that, you're also giving Spock the confidence to keep going, because, like, the heavy criticisms don't hit him until it's too late. I just thought that was a great choice to, like, sort of bake into the scene. Is, like, it's not just that Spock is an authority figure and he has rank. It's that it's First Contact Day and his people are involved. I just thought that was awesome.
Yeah. So I like when he does the finger flexions around blooper reel that a bunch of balloons pop up in front of him.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
He rolls the first clip, and it's of Hemmer and a transporter chief beaming a guy aboard. And she is not confident, but Hemmer orders her to get it done.
I don't want to talk about it. Get it done.
And this guy beams aboard, and he's a half bomb.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Blooper.
I love the detail of the half bomb being beamed aboard, you know, floating over where their legs would be. It's not just the half bob beamed onto the floor of the transporter pad. Like, this half bob falls to the ground. And you see the cartoon entrails.
What? I can't find your fucking legs! I can't find your legs!
Heber, like, raises his voice to the heavens to let Stovokor know a warrior is coming. The transporter chief is horrified. And we cut back, like, you know, to Spock standing in front of the projector that this is playing on and trying to explain the joke. You know, he, like, much like the bisected man on the screen, Spock is trying to dissect the frog, trying to explain why this is a good bit. Guy normally has legs, and in this instance, he does not. Therefore, you know, your expectations are subverted. Very funny.
Spock. Mm. No.
I really like this for him. And I really like the logic of his comedy hangs together so well because, like, he actually is reading the audience. He recognizes that this isn't the direction he should go. And I love the instinct of him to turn it back on himself. Like, maybe it's not appropriate to laugh about someone else. I'll offer myself up as that character. And so his second blooper is to Pring dumping him in such a brutal way. Maybe the most brutal part of this isn't even during the video. It's after the video when Spock describes it as one of the many times to Pring has done this to him for multiple different people.
And hanging tear while doing it.
God. I love this. I love it so much.
I am shattered by this.
This is such a high wire act as a comedy sketch also because the game of the sketch is that the jokes aren't jokes and are not funny.
Right.
And only through being increasingly unfunny do they get funnier.
Yeah, like... So much of comedy is the belief in the character you're portraying, the belief in their motivations, utterly. And right. There's never a moment here where Ethan Peck Spock does not believe in the correctness of these choices. Like, he's so sincere.
Yeah.
And that just makes it funnier.
This one even makes Nurse Chapel cry. It's yeah. brutal.
So Spock sees this as maybe too small time to be a blooper. So he goes big for the third. This next blooper is of the Klingon cleave ship tearing apart the Europa. And my favorite part of this moment is how long it goes on. It goes on and on and on until, like, the big pieces explode into little pieces and those little pieces explode again. And it's followed by an in memoriam reel.
The thousands and thousands of souls that perished that day.
Yeah.
Saru hangs his head in grief. And, like, it cuts back to the bar and, like, people are dropping their drinks. People are running out to go barf. Very upsetting for everyone there. This is, like, recent memory for a lot of them.
Big, big blooper.
It feels like this would be the very best blooper. It feels like at this point someone would have cut him off.
Uh-huh.
But no. The fourth blooper gets played, and
it's also, like, worth remembering that he's skipping over lots of bloopers because he's finding out that, like, the premise of showing them doesn't work as he goes. So he skips, like, all the way to the end at this point for his fourth one.
I want to look at the camera and address Casper Kelly directly. Mr. Kelly, release the entire video here. I want to see every blooper. These are so fucking good.
Yeah.
The fourth blooper features an unnamed ensign with space diarrhea. Wouldn't you know it, he's running to the bathroom. This is an era of Starfleet ships that they're not beaming the poops out of you.
No.
This guy's filled to the brim. And he hits a freshly mopped corridor.
You know what? It's TOS that they're not beaming the poops out of you and TNG that they are. Mm-hmm. And crucially, they are non-permeable hard surfaces in TOS.
Yeah.
And carpeted floors in TNG. Like, only when they got the technology of constantly beaming the waste out of people did they carpet the floors on the starships.
I know. It's too bad. This guy suffers from a slip and fart. Big hit.
Yeah.
The ensign hurt his genitals and then farted, but did not die.
Knees down, ass up, ripping booty.
Funny.
It's perfect.
Ensign Hazmat, you know, gets the mop knocked out of his hand.
Hey, Egypt! I'm in a very short trek. Where are you?
Seems like maybe you pissed off the Star Trek industrial complex and don't get to be in things anymore. I wonder what that's about.
No one wants to work with you. They'll work with me, but just in this one specific way.
I keep it clean.
Another edit for comedy here at the end. This live blooper that Spock threatens.
Yeah.
Cut straight into credits.
Now you're all gonna fart.
Yeah, big fun. Weird to see a mop on a starship, though.
Hearing Spock say the word fart. Chef's kiss.
Yeah. Are we supposed to believe that there are mops on Federation starships? Have we not exceeded mop technology by then?
This doesn't even look like the kind of mop that comes with a bucket that squeezes out the fibers of the mop. Like, this is a very notably old-timey looking mop. So what are you suggesting here? Do they replicate the mop, get the fibers saturated, throw it away, and replicate a new one? Is that what's going on here?
Yeah, it's me, Egypt Brother. I know more about mopping than anyone, and no one consulted me.
You want to ask an expert about space diarrhea? There is one person that can claim that mantle. And he's related to Egypt.
Get a life.
Did you like this very short trek, Spin?
I did like short tracks. It's so grisly and dark. It's like, it sort of reminded me of like Itchy and Scratchy, where it's like, how violent and over the top can it be? But I thought that the comedy really worked well. Nice to see Hammer, always a pleasure. I liked the greeting card at the end with the Idic and the Federation logo.
Yeah.
And Spock trying to ram a broom handle up Hammer's butt, I guess.
No, that was a ball shot.
Oh yeah, I guess
he was threatening.
But Hammer's running away, so he's presenting ass. How about you? Did you like?
This is my favorite one, and I think it's because the darker the comedy, the more of a bullseye it is for me. Like, the worse it got, the funnier it became. Like, when I go to horror movies in the movie theater, like, I am frequently the one stifling a laugh because, like, that's what shock does to me. Like, shock makes me laugh. And I laugh my ass off at this episode. I think there's something about Ethan Peck's sincerity and his delivery here, combined with the clear amount of post-production that he put in on these bloopers. Like, the laugh tracks were edited in, and the sad trombone was put in. The idea of Spock sitting alone with Adobe Premiere or something like it and like dropping those things in there to improve his bloopers was just a hilarious thought to me.
Do not follow me.
I thought it was just fantastic.
I'm seeing that Claire Friedman, who wrote this one, wrote for Saturday Night Live and Thesis and Miro and my next guest, like, she has some cool credits.
God, with that kind of pedigree,
yeah,
this was sure to get me.
Yeah. Really nice job on this one to all involved.
Yeah. Yeah. Big, big fan of Holiday Party. Well, I think that's a good place to stop, Ben. Maybe we should pick up the next three short treks on the next episode of Greatest Trek. For now, what do you see if we got any very short priority one messages in the inbox?
Yeah, or just regular size, you know, maybe.
Or maybe extra large.
Priority one message from Starfleet coming in on secured channel.
Ben, our first priority one message is from past Ben. Also not Benjamin R. Harrison. It is to future Ben, but not Benjamin R. Harrison.
Okay, well, I will plug my ears and not listen to this one, I guess.
Message goes like this. This is my annual birthday P1. Last year, I asked for a Ro Laren appearance in New Trek. Which was miraculously granted in Picard.
Oh, spoiler alert. Ben, but not me.
So this year, I'm asking for a Miles O'Brien appearance.
I am Chief Miles Edward O'Brien. This is fucking spectacular.
Happy birthday to me, and thank you to Windy for adding the drops.
Happy birthday, Ben.
It's so weird that this has happened before, that a Ben has done a Priority One message around their birthday, and it's not you, also around your birthday.
Yeah, yeah. Well, by, I guess by the time this comes out, it won't really be that close to my birthday anymore, but...
No. You won't even think about being 40 at this point.
No. I really hope Ben, but not Benjamin R. Harrison, gets his wish.
Yeah, me too.
Bring him back. Adam, our next Priority One message here is from Dan Reardon, and it's to Ben and Adam. And it goes like this. In the Voyager ep with the singing doc, it felt like a pregnant pause after you said, hit it and quit it. My brain imagined Ben following with, sing it and wing it? Glee it and flee it? Mariah it and goodbye it? And I laughed. Ro Laren drop. Can't wait to see you at the upcoming / now past St. Louis show next week. Wow. 2 Ro Laren drops in 1 P1 session. And a little shout out to the Share Your Embarrassment tour. Now all but over.
Yeah.
We only have one show left coming up in L.A. as of the release of this episode.
I'll always think of that St. Louis show fondly. What a place.
Yeah, that was great. Great venue for us. Great crowd. Great arch. That arch was deluxe, let me tell you.
Great salad.
Mm-hmm. Good barbecue. I mean, everything.
Really had it all.
Everything was firing over there in St. Louis.
Past people, current people, future people, all kinds of people can write a Priority One message for us to read. You can do the same by going to MaximumFun.org/Jumbotron. Do it today.
Please. Okay, Adam, I have a couple of questions for you.
All right.
Did you find Edward Larkins in either of these episodes?
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely the Spock of Holiday Party. Nothing more Edward Larkin-y than just not reading the room. And continuing to move forward in a bad plan.
Yeah, yeah.
I love that about this Spock. Also, like, just very in keeping with his character. Like, he approaches comedy in a very logical way. All of his reasons for doing this have some logical grounding.
Yeah.
This should work. He seems very surprised that it's not. And so I understood that about him. For that reason, he's my Edward Larkin. What about you?
I think in Holiday Party, I'm going to give it to the two guys in the blooper that actually hits with the crowd. Mm-hmm. I know that these guys are not meant to be representations of us, especially because if they were meant to be representations of us, the roles would be reversed. The red shirt guy would be the one with the diarrhea, and the gold shirt guy would be the one with the mop. But the gold shirt guy looked a little bit like me with show hair, and the red shirt guy looked a little bit like you when you've got your hair cut short.
Mm-hmm.
And the fact that it was a diarrhea fart sound piece of material helped me imagine that I was seeing a little bit of us in a Star Trek thing. And I enjoyed them for that. So they get my Edward Larkin for that very short trek.
How about that? What a fantasy it would be.
Be really cool. And let's see. Well, for the skin of cat, I think I'll give it to Pete Holmes. Because Pete Holmes is really, he's really Edward Larkining in a very serious way in this episode.
Yeah, this is going to be difficult to do for all of these because the Larkins, that we need are all around us. Hard to do better than Pete Holmes there.
Yeah.
I'm gonna stick with you on that one.
All right. Well, this has been a really fun time. We will be back at you in a couple of weeks with more Very Short Treks. We just have one last segment on today's episode, and that is the Warning Buoys segment.
Prepare a buoy and launch it when ready.
Warning buoys.
An emergency buoy.
A warning buoy.
Adam, do you want to share a bois with the people?
Sure will, Ben. Why do we do these warning buoys? You ever think about that?
Oh, geez, that is an existential question that I think could occupy the philosophers for centuries. But if I had to guess, it would be to sort of encourage people to put the word out there on social media about our shows, if you enjoy what we do, and in so doing, attracting the right kind of people to listen to what we do and enjoy it in the future.
Ben, here's a message from Allison M. This was posted on what was formerly known as Twitter. Their message goes like this. Please be advised that I was introduced to your pod a mere 4 months ago. And last night I flew into Austin from out of state and paid embarrassing F1 hotel rates to see you. And it was more than worth it. Loved the live show and count me in for the next tour.
Hell yeah, Allison M.
God, Allison, one of the many who came from out of town to see that Austin show on maybe the worst weekend to come to Austin from out of town. Lordy. We have never paid so much for hotel rooms.
It was really intense.
Yeah. Had a great show. Had a great time. Love Austin. Really, thanks to Allison for being a brand new FOD.
Yeah, that rules.
Coming out to a live show. One live show left, as you said, Ben, in Los Angeles, where there is no chance that the hotel rates are higher than they were in Austin. That's for sure.
I mean, like, LA hotels are expensive as fuck, but come on.
Yeah, there's not going to be a Formula One race. Not at our show. Positive.
Yeah.
Well, that was fun. I can't wait to come back in a couple of weeks to pick up the last three of these very short treks. Glad we're doing this.
Yeah, this has been a lot of fun. Looking forward to the next episode of Greatest Trek. See you in a couple of weeks.
Greatest Trek is an Uxbridge Shimoda podcast on the Maximum Fun Network. It's hosted by Ben Harrison and Adam Pranica, and it's produced and edited by Wendy Pretty. Ben and Adam will be back in a couple of weeks to talk about the rest of the Very Short Treks episodes, which you can find on YouTube. And there are a lot of people to thank at the end of this show, especially all of the Max Fun members who support on a monthly basis. Members are the biggest part of how this podcast gets made, and we really appreciate everyone who's already joined. If you're not a member yet, signing up will get you instant access to lots of great bonus content, and it's easy to do at MaximumFun.org/join. Thanks to Adam Argosia, who composed all of the original music for this show. You can find his YouTube cooking channel and podcast by searching for Adam Argosia. Thanks to Nick Ditmore for creating the show art, and a big thanks to Bill Tilley for managing all of the @GreatestTrek social media pages, which you can find and follow online. Also, make sure you're subscribed to the Greatest Trek YouTube account, because there are new videos coming out there all the time, too. Thanks for listening. We'll see you in 2 weeks on Greatest Trek.
Maximum Fun.
A worker-owned network
of artist-owned shows.
Supported
directly
by you.